You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning. It's July 25th, 2025, and it is another beautiful morning to have you here. Not in Chippewa Falls, but today, live from Oshkosh. This is a busy place, trust me. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or perhaps listening or watching us on YouTube or Facebook or through the app or by podcast. We appreciate you starting your day and wrapping up your work week right here. I got a question for you. So who's your pick for Wisconsin's next governor? Because there will be a next governor. Governor Tony Evers made the announcement yesterday in what he called a love letter to his wife Kathy and his family and the state of Wisconsin that after 50 years in public service, he will not be running for a third term in 2026. He will be spending more time with family, and he walks away a five-time undefeated champion. Five times he has won statewide elections for state superintendent of public instruction and then governor. That is you know, Tommy Thompson territory, and he won four statewide elections for governor. So, and the governor made clear he thought if he ran again that he could win, but you have to do things when the time is right, and this is the right time for him. So there will be a freewheeling, wide-open primary on the Democratic side, and guess what? There's going to be a freewheeling, wide-open primary on the Republican side that we have probably talked more about the two Republican candidates, Josh Shulman and Bill Berrien, than perhaps we will again for some time. That's my prediction anyway, is that there are folks who are closer to household names who probably would not have run if the governor had run for a third term, but you don't get an opportunity like this very often, where a sitting governor decides to retire, wide open race. And that's exactly where we're going right now. It happened when Jim Doyle didn't run in 2010, and Scott Walker and Tom Barrett came out as the nominees, and Scott Walker became governor. So for the first time now in lo those many years, we're going to have a wide open run for governor. And then that's not all, because there will be a race for lieutenant governor, because they don't run as a ticket in the primary. Everybody who wants to run for lieutenant governor runs in the primary for lieutenant governor. And you get the running mate that you get depending on who wins that particular primary. And there are multiple candidates probably who run for those. This is also this will also be the year that the state attorney general's post is up, and the secretary of state's post, and the state treasurer's post. If any of those incumbents decide to run, it's going to be a wide open race there. If any state senators decide they want to run for one of those other posts, there's a good chance that some state assembly rep is going to want to run for a seat in the state senate. And that opens up a fresh new race in the assembly. So the dominoes have been set in motion, and we are just at the very first one. The very first domino has made its move, and we just see where it all comes down from there. So we will have a lot to say about Governor Evers' decision and what is going to be. It was already going to be a crucial 2026 election season in Wisconsin anyway. Even more so now. There could be so many changes by the time things are all said and done in November of 2026. Well, let's see. What else is coming up on this Friday from Oshkosh? I was going to say a lot more about Oshkosh and Air Venture, but the news broke how do I put this? Let's bring in Parker Olson, who produces this fine little radio program for us, because Parker had asked that before the show. I don't have as much Air Venture stuff as I had thought, Mr. Olson. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. I wish that we had more adventure stuff, but, you know, the news beckons.
here's the thing. I left Madison yesterday driving up here, and my thought was to, you know, kind of get the lay of the land and figure out a few, you know, ways that I could take a look at the activities. And as I'm in traffic in Oshkosh, and there's serious traffic in Oshkosh, gotten into town, and my phone starts buzzing with the news. Okay, new plan. And I came right here to WISS Oshkosh, the wonderful civic media station here in a beautiful restored building downtown, right along the river, right here on the street. Wonderful studios here. But it was a case of bring your gear in, open up that laptop, and away you go with the phone calls and the writing and the video editing and everything else. The thing is, I can tell you that I got the news, my phone started buzzing, as I'm almost face-to-face with the Goodyear blimp. Because you get to the top of this off-ramp, and then there's the whole field. And I'd seen some, you know, I'd seen planes and helicopters going by and everything. But then suddenly, like, right there on the ground is the Goodyear blimp.
Oh, my God.
Which only solidified not only my fear of flying anything that, you know, isn't operated by Delta, United, or American. This thing is, I mean, it is majestic, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it is quite literally a great big balloon with a card table floating underneath it or strung up underneath it.
Yeah.
I'm not riding in that thing. So there I am face to face with the Goodyear blimp going, this is kind of impressive. And then news beckoned. And so.
Yeah.
We are here. We still have a lot to talk about in terms of Oshkosh and the Fox Valley. Coming up this hour, we'll be talking live to Ed Martini. He's the provost at UW Oshkosh. We'll be getting an update on what's happening around the university community. There's a new chancellor. They got some good news out of the state budget, so we'll talk about that. We will talk to County Executive Gordon Hintz here in Winnebago County, and he served in the legislature the same time that I did. He was in the assembly for many years and then stepped out of politics for a while and now has come back in. And yesterday marked 100 days on the job for Gordon Hintz as county executive here. We'll be talking to State Representative Lee Snodgrass from Appleton, a Fox Valley legislator. She voted no on the state budget, and we'll talk about what was in there, what was not in there. And of course, with Governor Evers' announcement, what she thinks could be different next time around after the 2026 elections for the legislature, and how the next state budget could be a completely different document altogether. So we've got that coming up as well. Let's see, we've got, of course, it's Friday, so we've got Mike Clemens. We also have Greg Bach coming in with today's history lesson. Our Week in Review panel is going to be here as well, and it is Free Ticket Friday. And these tickets are something. In fact, there is a chance that Parker Olson will quit his job here at Civic Media sometime in the next 6 minutes in order to be eligible for these tickets, because they are to next Wednesday afternoon's Brewers Cubs game.
I can do that. I think I can do that. I think I could quit right now to go to that game, not only because I would be able to enter, but because I'd be able to go then. That'd be awesome.
You'd be able to go. Yeah,
I'd have so much more free time. Yeah,
at that job thing. But don't do that, because they are station tickets. You get a chance to. You just used some a couple of weeks ago, right?
I tried to get some tickets for a game like second week of August, and they're already gone.
Oh
these tickets are flying off the shelves right now.
Yes, which also is part of the visit to Oshkosh, because somebody grabbed the tickets for this afternoon's game.
Ooh.
So somebody's going to be bringing his crew to see the crew this afternoon against the Miami Marlins.
So somebody is absolutely crisscrossing the state this week.
Absolutely. Went to Madison for the Civic Media Hosts Retreat and is up here in Oshkosh after spending the night in Beaver Dam. And you will say, hey, Pat, wait. You were in Oshkosh yesterday. You're in Oshkosh this morning. Why were you in Beaver Dam overnight? Here's the answer. It's the closest hotel room that didn't cost $500. I'm not even kidding. I mean, the most ragtag room you could hope to find around here is going for $500 a night during AirVenture. And we know this is true because we've seen Brittany Merlot in a tent out there. I've seen so many campers, so many tents, so many people roughing it and saving hundreds of dollars in the process.
Yeah, it's a busy time.
Yes, it is.
A little bit going on up there.
And oh my gosh, humid. So humid this morning, foggy. I mean, it was just, I did not want to switch places with any of those folks in tents last night or any campers that didn't have some kind of air conditioning or a fan.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
Yeah.
However, you also get to see a good show. I mean, literally just driving around the area, you get to see cool stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff you wouldn't expect to see. Like, for example, if you see something, and I don't know exactly what plane this was, but let's just say a 747, because it looked a lot like one, but I don't know exactly what it was. But it was basically banking in a way that it was flying sideways. Okay? very impressive when you know it's the air show. If by chance you think that's the Delta flight from Newark coming in and it's going sideways, you're going to be very, very concerned.
That's a little worrying, yeah. I was going to say, I bet it's really hot and I bet it's really loud because that's a lot of planes.
It was really loud. There was a second Goodyear blimp that was not on the ground but was floating around the show at the time. There were, you know, the old-timey airplanes. That's what we people who don't attend AirVenture call them. I don't know what kind it actually was. It was an old-timey plane that was going through, a couple of helicopters passing through. Very impressive show. And sure, there were lots of people on the grounds that were checking this all out, but I really got a kick out of going down one of the frontage roads for the interstate here. And on the other side of the highway are some strip malls, and there's some grassy areas in front of the strip malls, and there's people in folding chairs. Just sitting on the ground there because they're not camping. They just want to get a good view.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, looking across the highway corridor, that's a pretty unobstructed view.
That's a free view
of the sky.
You don't have to pay for that.
It's a free view.
That's the nice thing about air shows. They're in the sky.
Yeah, you really you can't charge people. Hey, buddy, you can't look up. That'll cost you, you know.
It would do wonders for the city budget, though.
Oh, it would. I mean, Gordon Hintz wouldn't have anything to worry about turning in a county budget next time around. So, but it doesn't work that way. But it does bring in, you know, anywhere from 500,000 to 700,000 people. And you'll recall that we heard an updated report this week, updated from like, what, 7-8 years ago, on the economic impact to this area. And AirVenture's economic impact to this area is now over $250 million, $250 million. And you're thinking, how can that be? And then I tell you that the cheapest hotel room is $500 a night and that I had to stay in Beaver Dam to pay $225 a night. That's how you get the economic impact.
Yeah, and you know what? This has been a heck of a couple of months for that area of the state with the NFL draft being in Green Bay recently, too.
Yes.
That's a good time to be wanting to make money.
I don't want to forget here, so before we go, I really have to thank Lisa Hale, who's doing the news over here in another room here in Oshkosh, for bringing in a whole box of Glazers here from Quick Trip. Brought in a big old mug of, we were just talking about gas station coffee the other day, and here I've got some more from Quick Trip. She brought in a big, large coffee here. And when she heard me talking about schwitzing like an Airedale here, she said, you know, we can control the air conditioning here. And she did, and she turned it down. And it's actually quite pleasant compared to what I know you have to go through there, where you start at sauna and you leave at freezer by the time the air conditioning in that building kicks in.
It's so oddly muggy, but sort of cool in here right now.
And isn't that great? That's called clammy. And isn't that just a lot of fun to have to deal with?
Oh, yeah.
Coming up, we're going to hear from Senator Tammy Baldwin talking about Governor Tony Evers and his decision not to run for a third term next year. From the heart of America's up north, live this morning from Oshkosh. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. We're live from Oshkosh on this Friday morning, 7:25:25 at 6:23. That would have worked a lot better if it was 7:25. Remind me about that next hour. Make a note. You're going to get a chance to win Brewers tickets after I tell you first that the Brewers were off yesterday, coming back from their West Coast road trip, and they begin a series against the Miami Marlins this afternoon, and then they'll be playing the Cubs at home next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But again, today's game is against the Miami Marlins. The Miami Marlins. Jeez, Parker, you got it.
Well done, Pat. You caught it.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you. Yes. It's an afternoon game, 3:15, something like that. The thing I know is I know the pregame time because that's when you should be listening here on Civic Media on several stations that carry the Brewers. Pregame begins at 2:35 this afternoon. So that's today's game. Let's talk about that Cubs series next week because it's Free Ticket Friday. And you could win tickets to next Wednesday afternoon's game against the Chicago Cubs. That'll be the third of a three-game series. It's a day game in American Family Field. If you can go to the game, if you can get tickets delivered electronically and use them on your phone, then you should use that Civic Media app on your phone and get set to text us a keyword. From now until 9 o'clock, till the end of the show, we've got one particular keyword. And if you send it in to us through that app by texting us, you are eligible in a statewide drawing throughout the course of today, different shows, different keywords. You will be in the running for winning those tickets to Wednesday's game with the Brewers and the Cubs. Okay, Pat, give them the word. It's Brew, B-R-E-W. Again, Brew, B-R-E-W. Text Brew between now and 9 o'clock using the Civic Media app. Just go to one of the stations there and use the button for texting. You can also leave us a voice note, but the voice note, you can say Brew. I'll say Brew, Brew, Brew. It's not going to work. You got to actually text it to us, okay? Do that. Here come the keywords now from folks, every one of them. Part of a drawing to win Brewers tickets, perhaps later today. Now, I don't have a camera over here that gets the whole studio, so while you folks on social media watch me, you're going to be hearing all about Lisa Hale here from WISS and Civic Media, and our wonderful, our gracious hostess for today. Flip that little mic switch on right there at the top. There you go. And say hello.
Hello. How are you doing today, Pat?
So good. So nice to have you here. Thank you for the Glazer's donuts and the coffee and the air conditioning, especially.
I know it can get a little stuffy in this room particularly, and I had to turn it up for you.
You know, this is lovely, though. I remember when I was doing the show here, it was actually 2 years ago now that I was here, not long after Civic Media had taken over and the building, and it was being refurbished. And it was part of Governor Evers' Main Street program where small businesses were getting $10,000 grants to fix up storefront businesses to help revitalize downtowns. They've done such a nice job here, and now this is, you know, one of your workspaces. Do you work both here and in Green Bay?
I can go up to Green Bay if I wish. I live here in Oshkosh, so okay. I prefer to kind of just settle in here, mm-hmm. but I do cover, I'm the Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief, so I cover everything from Kewaunee and Door County down to the edge of Winnebago County. Okay. We don't really count Fond du Lac, but sometimes I'll cover Fond du Lac, too.
Don't take it personally, folks.
Don't take it personally, Fond du Lac.
It's just you're in that middle ground between, you know, Milwaukee and here. And you also got a little bit busy yesterday afternoon when the governor made his announcement.
Oh, we were all hopping here in the Civic Media News team.
I understand. Parker, you said there was a meeting going on or a meeting about to start at the noon hour when the news came down?
We were seconds into a meeting when we all go, oh, so half of us are going to leave right now.
And, all right. And leave you did. And as it turned out, part of the reason I was coming up here at the hour that I was not just for AirVenture, but also I knew that I'd had a prearranged interview with Senator Tammy Baldwin on another matter. And we'll play that part of the interview on Monday. But of course, through serendipity, I was able to ask her about Governor Evers' decision to step down. Here's about a two-minute clip of what she had to say reacting to the news.
As a career educator turned governor, you know, working with him to support public education has been such a joy. I'm certainly going to miss him, but I'm certainly going to look forward to The year and a half that we still have to work together on behalf of the people of the state, I'm jazzed as hell for him to get the next chapter in his life.
His statement mentioned, well, he titled it A Love Letter to Wisconsin, a love letter to Kathy and his family and to Wisconsin, and really hits on notions of public service, which for all of the bare knuckle politics that goes on in this day and age, it seems like a nice reminder that the whole reason you're supposed to be doing what you're doing, him, you, others, is about service.
Exactly. And that's really, you know, a reflection of his life. I talked to him earlier today, and he was reflecting on nearly 50 years in public service, whether that was as a teacher, a principal, superintendent of public instruction, or governor, a servant of the people. And he embodies that.
Senator, I have to ask, I have to do my due diligence. Is that a post that you might be interested in considering next year?
No, I know that we have a very, very well qualified group of folks who I'm sure are eyeing the possibility of running for governor, and I look forward to that. But you know, I'm focused on a very important job I have here in Washington, D.C., especially in these times where our very democracy is on the line. And I am very very honored to be in this fight, and that Wisconsinites entrusted me with being their voice in Washington.
And Pat, you're muted, but hey, that's okay, because we're going to go to commercials now.
Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate it. We'll be back. Let's give you that keyword again. Again, it's brew. Use your Civic Media app and text the word brew before 9 a.m. and you will be in a statewide drawing, eligible to win 4 tickets to see the Brewers-Cubs game next Wednesday afternoon, part of our Free Ticket Friday promotion here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where you can also hear the Brewers playing the Miami Marlins starting this afternoon, pregame coverage at 2:35. On stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Live here in Oshkosh, thanks to the folks at WISS. Oshkosh, where you'd find a university here, and a provost, Ed Martini, who's been kind enough to join us from a vacation a little further away from Oshkosh, but is willing to dial in and talk to us about our time here today. Provost Ed Martini, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Pat. How are you?
It's good. It's so nice of you to take some time to join us during your break here and tell us about, you know, some of the latest things that are happening in the Oshkosh area, especially on the university campus. There's new leadership. Of course, there was a state budget as well. So where do we want to start? I would imagine the state budget, and what kind of news was in there that would impact the UW Oshkosh community?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, we're thrilled that there is a budget, and we are thrilled that there is some increase in that budget for all the universities of Wisconsin, including the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh. And we're working through the universities and with system to figure out exactly what the formulas are going to be for how some of that money gets distributed. But there's money for operations, there's money for students and student success and mental health, there's money for the recruitment and retention of faculty and staff. And for us, most importantly, there's $137.5 million for a brand new learning commons here at Oshkosh, which is going to replace a library which is decrepit and on the verge of failure. So we're incredibly excited about that.
You know, every campus in the system here at some point or another has a building that is emblematic of the need for, you know, constant update. I know as a UW-Eau Claire alum, for the longest time, it was the science building that is, you know, long overdue to be replaced and is finally happening. And in Oshkosh, talk about the quest, if you will, to have the library replaced, and a bit more about the, you know, the learning center that's going to replace it.
Yeah, that is certainly our emblematic structure. You know, all of our campuses, as you mentioned, have a lot of deferred maintenance and a lot of buildings that are frankly failing. So for us, our library is 60 years old. It was built in two parts way back in the early 60s. And we've had folks out to come see for themselves that the pipes inside are failing. And it's become a safety hazard, frankly, for some of our students. And we weren't sure the building was even going to make it through the winter. So it's just really not a great situation. And so what we are going to do now is build a new state-of-the-art learning commons. It's very forward-thinking. It's a library really for the 21st century, but it's so much more than a library. It's a commons. It's a meeting space. It's going to be the heart and soul of our campus again. And it's got the kinds of spaces and resources that our students and our faculty need for the future. It's got more areas for students to study in and congregate. We've got digital media labs to do that kind of work. So it's going to be a transformative project for our campus and our community.
How long do you figure it will take before this is all ready to be used?
Well, if everything goes according to plan, which of course it never does, but we're hopeful. And so once we get into the final stages of planning and we go through all the bidding and really get the shovels in the ground, we could be walking into our new learning commons as early as spring of 2028, which would be incredibly exciting.
Yeah. I recall when, again, back to UW-Eau Claire, they were doing that for the Davie Center, for the student commons area. In all of these cases, you have things that were built, you know, for the baby boom. You had explosive growth in our campuses, but the maintenance and the replacement schedules didn't necessarily keep up with the times. Mm-hmm. And what we think of as a library, you know, folks, there's some folks that feel like, you know, the concept of the library itself is outdated. Chances mm-hmm. are they haven't been in a library lately because it is so much more than just a bunch of books on a shelf. I'm sure that you're looking at the design of this with an eye for it to not be dated, but to be a learning center that can carry through a generation or more.
Absolutely. Everything we're doing at Oshkosh is to set us up for the long haul, to be adaptive, to be resilient, and to continue to really be relevant for our audiences. And the library is a great example of that. So we are going to tear down one side of the building and completely rebuild it, renovate the other side. And the overall pattern will leave us with a building that's 30% smaller than it is now, much more energy efficient, in addition to all the great tools and technologies that are inside of it. We're going to reduce our physical collection of books and bound periodicals, things like that, by over 50% because we use those things digitally now. We just use those things a lot differently than we did 10 years ago, let alone 60 years ago.
You know, any project is the result of some good storytelling. It's not mm-hmm. just simply putting a number on a spreadsheet and, you know, hoping for the best. And for Oshkosh, that included kind of a behind-the-scenes video titled Nightmare on Elmwood Avenue that helped make the case. What was that all about?
Oh, that was such a great, great experience. So, our building really was and is failing. And so, you know, in parts of the building, we've got plastic sheeting that is walling off parts of our collection because the steam valves could fail, and it was really a safety hazard. So, I mean, you know, parts of it look like a murder scene. It's a crime scene. I mean, it is kind of scary. And so we have a class of student storytellers, and the chancellor and our chief of staff put to them the challenge of kind of telling the story of the library, and they put together the horror story that would ensue, and that students who experienced the failing building effectively turned into zombies. And the only thing that could save them was seeing the vision of what the new Polk Learning Commons could look like one day. And students really developed that entirely on their own. And we just are so grateful to them for their creativity and for leaning into that.
We're talking to Provost and Vice Chancellor for UW Oshkosh, Ed Martini, here on Mornings Powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow, live in Oshkosh today. And Ed, you referenced a chancellor. There's been a passing of the baton for leadership here in Oshkosh. Tell folks all about that.
Oh, we're so excited. So we have a new chancellor, absolutely. So Chancellor Andy Levitt stepped down after 10 years at the university, and we're incredibly grateful to Chancellor Levitt for all he did for our school. And recently, just about 3 weeks ago now, welcomed Dr. Manohar Singh, who joined us most recently from Western Connecticut State University. So he's getting to know us and in our school, our community, our region, and is bringing just a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm, and has really hit the ground running with all the things we have going on. And he had quite a first week between the budget deal and the library news and the governor coming to campus. So it's been an incredibly busy summer for us. Usually July is pretty quiet on our campus, but not this year.
No, it doesn't sound like it at all. I was saying to Senator Baldwin before that this may be one of the busiest recesses that she's ever had to endure, because there's a lot going on this summer. And look, there is a lot of energy. There's clearly a lot of enthusiasm for the library project. There's relief that the state budget is done. But let's not sugarcoat this. There are still challenges out there for the new chancellor, for every UW campus. Facing declining enrollment pressures, facing budgetary pressures. There have been two-year campuses that have closed, four-year campuses facing their own budget matters. So along with the good news that's come, what are the challenges that are still on the horizon? What are the things that are most in need of addressing as you go through, you know, the next year or two?
Absolutely. I mean, it's an incredibly challenging time all across higher education. Any college or university is facing some version of the pressures that we're facing at Oshkosh and across the state of Wisconsin. Demographic decline is going to continue. There's a lot of questioning in the world, in our state, in our region about the value of higher education and making sure that we are relevant for the young people and for all the learners who are seeking higher education. And we need to more than ever make sure that we are stewards of those tax dollars and those tuition dollars that are flowing our way. So at Oshkosh, we've really, I think, done a great job of making sure that we are doing all that stuff, staying relevant, having a physical footprint, a human resources footprint that fits the size school we are and will be, and making sure that our academic structure and our programs and everything that we offer, the ways that we collaborate with the communities that we serve, is relevant to make sure that we are the partner of choice in Northeast Wisconsin for decades to come.
Ed Martini is Vice Chancellor and Provost at UW Oshkosh. Ed, this is not necessarily a question that we might consider fair, but I want to talk about, you know, getting a liberal arts education versus you know, the other options that are out there. And they're all options. There are trade schools and technical college. There's military service and all of that. It just seems, and I'm coming at it from the bias of somebody who's a liberal arts, you know, grad, that, you know, there needs to be something said when people say, well, college is not for everybody. Well, that's fine, but that's no reason to bash higher education as some kind of an ivory tower thing. There is still very much a case to be made for a college education, for a liberal arts education, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, and you don't have to take my word for it. I'm a higher ed professional. I'm biased too, but we hear it from our employers. We hear it from our community partners who are telling us that the skills, the tools, the abilities that they need in their workforce for the future is really still grounded in a liberal arts education. So whether you're going into one of our professional programs or you're maybe just taking a class or a certificate, those human skills that are at the core of what we do at any four-year school are still going to be critical, and we think more critical than ever in a world where artificial intelligence is exploding and we're all trying to keep pace with the change. It's those human skills that you get in a well-rounded breadth of education that's going to make sure everybody has that. We want to make sure everybody has access to that going forward.
Final question, just because of the news of the day here with Governor Tony Evers announcing he would not run for a third term. And if you could talk just a bit about what Governor Evers has done in terms of support, or how he'll be remembered for what he's done for UW Oshkosh and the community as a whole.
Absolutely. Well, I heard Senator Baldwin talking with you about that just a little bit as I was logging on. And, you know, Governor Evers was such a wonderful public steward and a servant. And, you know, for us, he was an educator. He was a lifelong educator. So he really understood that value of the education and what we do, especially for young people across the state. And we are grateful to him for everything he's done throughout his career, including getting that most recent budget deal done. And we were so thrilled to have him out just a couple of weeks ago to come visit the library and see up close what a difference that is going to make to the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh and to all our community partners as well.
Ed Martini, Provost and Vice Chancellor at UW Oshkosh, thank you. You've been very gracious with your time for getting up early with us today. Thanks so much for all of that. Best of luck to you, and have a great start to your weekend.
Thanks, Pat. Good to be with you. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you. Hope to talk to him again real soon. While we were talking about Governor Evers and his decision not to run for a third term, we have to keep in mind that while there will be, and there have been, a lot of reaction press releases thanking the governor for his service and for his time, the fact of the matter is it's going to open up a wide open field for 2026, not just for Republicans, but for Democrats alike. You have all of the names in there that are, you know, potential candidates. They would include Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, State Attorney General Josh Call, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, former State Party Chair Ben Wickler, State Senator Kel DeRoy, State Senator Chris Larson, and perhaps many others as well. And even on the Republican side, besides Bill Berrien and Josh Shulman, you'll probably see some legislators talking about wanting to get into the race. And it, what is definitely the worst coincidence in Wisconsin history, President Trump is the 45th and 47th president, so he's got a little red cap that has 45 and 47 on it. Scott Walker happened to be the 45th governor and is teasing a run to maybe be the 47th governor. He put out a photo of a hat, a red hat that said, "Make Wisconsin Great Again," with a 45 and a 47 on there. Because why not make us even more depressed about what could happen next year after the governor's race here in Wisconsin? Greg Bach hopefully joins us for today's history lesson on this Friday morning, powered by Up North News. These are mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. From Oshkosh, I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, let's class up the joint and bring in Greg Bach. There's a sentence I don't know that we've said before here. Hi, Greg.
Or has ever been said in the history of anything.
Well, you did it because it was on this day in 1788 that Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart completed his Symphony No. 40 in G minor.
Yeah, Mozart's fine. I'm more of a Bach guy. I hate myself. All right.
No, you shouldn't.
No, I'm just kidding.
How are you?
I'm well. I'm happy to be back in Radio Park Ranch land.
Yes.
And, you know, it's the past. We were out of town all last week, most of last week, yep. And then I got back. I'm like, all right, I'm home, honey. Pet the dog. What's going on? Got to go to Madison. And then... so now I'm back and I'm back home. It's very nice. I'm looking forward to the weekend. I have like really nothing to do, which I am so excited about.
Isn't it great when it's like, what are we doing? Nothing.
Yeah.
There's a time when you're younger. It's like, oh my God, I have nothing. What am I going to do? It's like, I'm doing nothing and it's going to be great.
Exactly. Exactly. It's John Mulaney has a bit about it and it is absolutely true. Especially the notion of like, oh, we're going to go to so-and-so's house. And the last minute, they're like, they canceled.
Yes. Yes, I'm embarrassed to say I'm in the group, but I'm not that embarrassed.
I hate to say that I'm starting to agree with you guys.
Oh, see?
You're getting there at a young age too, man. That hit me somewhere in my like 30s. I was fine with not going out.
Yep. Tony on YouTube, nothing is the best thing ever. Yes. Yeah. Definitely a place for it. You also, though, while you were while we all gathered in Madison for a little host retreat, and then you know after dinner, you were like, "Okay, I'm going to go now." He's going to go to an open mic at a comedy club. How'd that go?
It went well. They gave me a 4-minute set, which I was very, very appreciative of, and it was really fun. It was packed. I was expecting anything when it comes to the comedy club on State, which is in Madison. It's a great one of the best clubs in the country, honestly. And I thought, oh, it's midsummer, no one's around, it's probably gonna be like 20-30 people in there. It was a packed house, like packed to the rafters, and I think I was the second oldest person in the building at that point because it was all college kids. It was all like kids who were like freshly 21.
Oh man,
ew.
Yeah.
but that's, you know, again, the rest of us, we didn't do that. You got the guts to do that.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the history lesson. Some musicians stepped into a recording studio this day in 1966, and they recorded this tune from the Monkees. Now, that was their debut single. And when I say some guys stepped into a studio in Los Angeles to record this, I don't mean the Monkees.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, when the Monkees first started and they were just hired to be a knockoff comedy, you know, show, you know, similar to the Beatles, they didn't play any instruments. Well, no. At least not professionally. Mickey Dolenz did do the vocals, but yes. He's the only Monkey on the track.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a very great love for the Monkees. I saw them in concert in 1986.
Did you?
Yep, that was my first concert with a little-known guy, the opening act. You may have heard of him, Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, fun. Whoa. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That's like a bridging of the generations there.
Yeah.
On this day in 1959, 13-year-old Dolly Parton made her Grand Ole Opry debut, singing a George Jones song, You Gotta Be My Baby. She was introduced by Johnny Cash. She must have done good. She received 3 encores. Yeah. That would be foreshadowing. Let's see. This week in 1973, here's the song released by the Doobie Brothers.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. So lead singer Tom Johnson said about China Grove, he thought maybe he dreamed up the name. Later found out that their tour bus had passed through the real small town of China Grove in Texas. He just didn't remember that. This week in 1965 at the Newport Folk Festival, Bob Dylan played an electric set for the first time. Horrifying. Folkies everywhere. Yes. Let's see. This is the anniversary of the birth of Louise Joy Brown. She is 47 years old today. The first human to have been born through IVF, or in vitro fertilization. She was known back then as the first test tube baby. Now there's so many of them.
And oh, yeah.
That is a wonderful thing.
Yes, it is.
And let me skip ahead here to 1995, because we started with Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, and I always feel like we need the alpha and the omega of music history. And so it was on this week in 1995 that ESPN released Jock Jams. We're sorry. Mozart.
It's like, you will tell us all the secrets you know. I won't do it. Play the Jock Jam.
No, I'll tell you anything.
The missiles are in Denver.
It's one of those where it's like, no. for the very first time you hear it, and you go, oh, that's very cute. You know, they kind of mixed all these songs together, put a little ESPN highlights between them. By the third time you've heard it, like, okay, that's fine. And then comes the 203rd time that you've heard it, and you're like, please make this go away.
They're on volume 9 of Jock Jams? Who has made this many songs?
No way.
Oh, I didn't even know this was a thing. I got whiplash going from the first one to this.
Do you feel like you kind of ruined Parker a little bit, Pat? Like he was living a world that was devoid of Jock Jams, and now...
No, I feel like we're helping in his maturation, because here's a guy that did not embrace doing nothing for the weekend. Now he's starting to appreciate our way of life.
You're welcome.
I feel like our work here is done.
Thank you.
Greg Bach, you'll hear him with Jane Matt and Air for Matt and Air on Air weekdays, 9 to 11, following this little shindig. Yeah. Greg, enjoy your nothingness this weekend.
I shall contemplate my nothingness while watching repeats of Bridgerton.
And doing, that's as nothingness it gets. All right. Thank you, buddy. Talk to you later.
Thank you, friends. Have a great weekend.
Have a good one, Greg.
Coming up after the 7 o'clock news, Winnebago County Executive Gordon Hintz will be here. And much more on these mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.